If you'd like to this morning, please open your books to the book of Exodus. Your Bible's chapter 16 of Exodus, verses 4 will be the main one that we'll use this morning. But I'll be reading a few verses from this chapter, beginning in verse 4. I'm going through verse 18 of Exodus chapter 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, "At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us?" Also Moses said, "This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full, for the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses spoke to Aaron, "Say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints." Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God." So it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person. According to the number of persons, let each man take for those who are in his tent." Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. This is probably a familiar story to everyone in the building this morning, because we remember what God had promised to Abraham. He'd make of his seed a great nation. And of course, Joseph had been sold into Egypt, and they had been there. And then once Joseph died and another Pharaoh took over that did not know Joseph, he began to punish the children of Israel and put them over in the land of Goshen and restrain them, because he's afraid that they were becoming a mighty people and they might become so many that they could overpower the Egyptians. So he tried to hold them in their place, and they cried out to the Lord, and he heard their prayers, and he called Moses that was brought up in the house of Pharaoh, and he called Moses, and he went into another land and stayed there 40 years, and he sent Moses back to bring the children of Israel out. And so God liberated his children from Egyptian slavery, from Egyptian bondage. He made a pathway through the sea. He gave the children of Israel a cloud to follow in the day and a fire to see at night. He gave them food. He met their very basic needs every day. Each morning, the manna came down. Each evening, the quail appeared. The people were told to take just enough for one day, and their needs would be met. In essence, what God was telling the children of Israel is, one day at a time, I'm going to care for you. Trust in me. Believe what I tell you. You'll have your needs met one day at a time. And so you think about the statement that was made there and the instructions that they were given. Of course, they were complaining that after everything had happened, they'd been brought over and crossed over the Red Sea, and they were on their way to the land of Canaan. They felt like that they were in a bad place, and, oh, look where we're at. It'd be better off if we go back to Egypt, even under bondage, because at least there we had the things we needed, and look what you've done to us, Moses. Of course, and then we read the events that took place in these verses 4 through 18 in Exodus chapter 16 just now, where Moses was talking to the children of Israel and what God told Moses to tell them about their situation, that really you're not that bad off, folks. You've been brought out of Egyptian bondage. You've been brought out of slavery. You've been freed from that. And now the Lord is providing you what you need. And so he's going to give you bread and meat to sustain you till you hit the promised land. What is your complaint? Well, the problem of the Israelites were that, number one, they were complaining. Number two, they were impatient. They wanted it all. And they wanted to know that if tomorrow comes, we're going to have this. And I guess that's human nature, because don't you feel the same way sometimes like I do, that if we live to tomorrow, we hope we have the things that we're supposed to have? Well, we trust in God and we know that we will have those things, but sometimes they may not be as many and sometimes they may be less than we had before, but usually sufficient for the day, that the needs that are of that day will be met, especially the basic needs of food and water and shelter. Now, I realize there's many people in the world who are suffering because of a lack of shelter, because of a lack of food, because of other things. But God has made it in this planet, on this earth, provided everything that man needs for our provisions. And so we need to trust in God and understand that the basic things that we need, God has provided for us. If we obey his commands and reach out for them, we can receive those things. He put some things on our shoulders to do so that we can receive those things. For instance, food and clothing and shelter. He asked man to work by the sweat of his brow. He asked us to work and earn a living with using our minds and our hands and our bodies to go out and grow food so we can eat. Build a place. He's provided timber. He's provided coverage that we can have for shelter. He's provided things that we can make clothing out of to clothe ourselves. He's provided things that when it's cold in the winter that we can build a fire and stay warm. He's provided ways that we can stay cool in the summer, the shade of the trees, the shade of the mountain, the place by the stream. And so one thing that we may often fail to do in life is to take things one day at a time. And probably if you look at me, I've got a lot of gray hair. I'm thankful I have this much hair. But I have a lot of gray hair. But maybe I wouldn't have had this much gray hair if I had learned when I was young to accept things as God is giving them to me and listen to his instructions more than I did, so that maybe I wouldn't have worried as much over the years. Did I ever worry? Well, a few times. Have you ever worried? Is there anyone in the building that's never worried? Well, humans are. Some say, I never worry. The person that tells you they never worry, you need to examine them a little bit and find out, because they're human, right? They're made of flesh, and so we're weak. We're going to have some concerns. But the point of the lesson this morning, in this hour, and the third hour this morning in our other worship, is about us and God and our place here in life, and understanding that God provides for us, but one day at a time. One day at a time. Let's think about that. These children of Israel, they should have known at this point that God would take care of them, because they had witnessed all those things that had happened back in Egypt. After all, they were in bondage. They had been forced over the land of Goshen, and so they prayed to God, and he heard their prayers. He sent them someone to lead them out through his power. He sent Moses and Aaron. And so through the hand of God, and when Moses and Aaron talked to Pharaoh, they told him what God would do. And then through God's hand, mighty works were done in the land of Egypt that these Israelites were aware of. Even though these 10 plagues that were done in Egypt were against Pharaoh and his household and the people of Egypt that did not believe, it was not against the children of Israel. Those plagues did not come on them, but they knew about the plagues that happened. So at this point in time, where we're reading in Exodus chapter 16, why were they still so obstinate? Why were they still so stubborn? Why were they still so unsure? And why did they have such a lack of faith in God and unable to accept what he told them one day at a time? Because look at what all they had been through. They had recently witnessed the power of God. And so now he's telling them, don't worry about tomorrow. Take it a day at a time. I'm going to provide to you. But the father told him, said, just trust me. God said, trust me. I'll provide your needs. If you put my faith in your faith in me and do as I ask, your needs are going to be met. But they still were stubborn people. And so look back. The Israelites had recently witnessed the power of God in action. The 10 plagues. You go back a couple of chapters there in Exodus and you see that those 10 plagues that we're familiar with, look at what they had known about and witnessed, yet it didn't affect them, but they watched it affect Pharaoh and his household and the unbelieving Egyptians. So surely, why couldn't they believe in this God of heaven and earth that was giving them these things? Why couldn't they believe at this point to the extent that they would say, yes, Father, you speak and we'll believe. You tell us today you're going to provide and we will trust in you. But yet, they didn't do that. But look what they had witnessed just recently, just a short time before this. The first plague, water being turned into blood throughout Egypt. They knew that that happened in Pharaoh's house and in Egypt. The second plague, the frog that covered all the land of Egypt. Frogs everywhere. The Israelites knew that that happened to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And then the third plague, lice throughout the land. And in Pharaoh's house and throughout the land of all those people of Egypt, yet the Israelites knew that God had done that. They knew that. They knew the power of God. Then the flies in all the houses of Pharaoh and all of Pharaoh's servants, all the flies that covered everything, these Israelites knew about that plague. Then plague number five, the plague of livestock. You know, if you don't get your livestock, they're going to die. And so it didn't affect the Israelites, but it did Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And then the number six, the boils, the plague of boils on all men and all beasts of Pharaoh and his household and all the Egyptians, boils on those people. God was putting some things on Pharaoh and those people to help them to understand and see that God is in control. And he's doing that so when Moses goes to ask him eventually, after God quits hardening Pharaoh's heart, he's going to let them go. The Israelites had witnessed all of this. And then the plague of the livestock again, the boils on all the men and the beasts, and then hail mingled with fire throughout the land on Egypt. And then the plague of locusts everywhere. And then the plague of darkness. And then finally, number 10, the plague of the death of the firstborn in every household in the land of Egypt in Pharaoh's house, except for the children of Israel. And they were told to prepare for it. You'll take and you'll do a lamb and you'll prepare it this way and you'll put the blood on the post of your house so that when the death angels passes over, I will pass over you. The Israelites, at this point, when we're reading Exodus 6, were a group of people that had witnessed enough things of powerful things, unusual things, unnatural things happening to Pharaoh in Egypt. You would think that they would have been a people that would have been humble and thankful and say, look where he has brought us, out of bondage. And then on top of that, when they got to the Red Sea, God put the waters back and they crossed on dry ground. And when they got through, the Egyptian army went in the middle of the sea and God put the waters back over it and drowned the army. And the bodies of the soldiers were there on the shore. And these Israelites had witnessed all that. And now they are traveling toward Canaan's land, the promised land. The promised land of God the Father, their father Abraham that they knew about. They're going to get that promised land that God is going to give them. And what do? We're just not happy, Moses. We just don't like the way things are going. And what's God asking of them? Trust me. One day at a time. And I tell you, folks, the older I get, the more important I see of one day at a time. The more emphasis I begin to place on one day at a time. Because you know what? Might not have another. Look around and see our friends and family that are gone. We look back and see the events of life and what's happened. And now we know that, you know what? The day as it is important. Because if I've got food and clothing and shelter, the basic needs of life, I need to thank my Creator for the sustenance of life and show Him that I appreciate that. And do what? And serve Him and not grumble or complain. So let's think about that. Enough for today. Let's look at a few things about these children of Israel. We can learn some good lessons from these folks this morning. And you already know these lessons we're going to talk about. But there's a lot of good lessons we can learn. God promised them all these things, and He did everything He promised. But they just didn't seem to have enough faith to take it one day at a time. They wanted to jump the hoop and look a little bit further out. They wanted more promises. But each day, one day at a time that they lived, they still had the promise of the promised land. And the same thing with us today. Each day that we live, tomorrow may never come. If it gets here, let's be ready for it. If it don't, let's live today and be ready, because tomorrow's gone and we can't bring it back. So today, if there are things that we did tomorrow or last week that would affect us eternally and cause us to lose our soul if tomorrow never comes, today is the day to do something about it. One day at a time. One day at a time, serve God faithfully. One day at a time, understand that if we've got sin, we go to God and make it right. So that if that is the last day we have, we'll leave this life being the best prepared we can to meet God. One day at a time. God promised them all these things, and then God asked us today to trust Him. To trust Him. Just as He was asking the children of Israel to trust Him then, He asked us to trust Him now. To get into His Word and read His Word and see His plan that He has for us, the plan He has for all mankind, and see what the result will be if we serve Him or if we don't, and understand that the day of today is truly the day of salvation, as Paul mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, because Christ has shed His blood for everyone, and we have an opportunity today to worship God, to do His will. What are we going to do with today while we have it? What are we going to do with it? Because today, we have enough for today. Have you ever had a day in your life when you were hungry and you could really use some more food to eat when you went to bed that night? Really? But you got up the next morning and you realized you made it through that night although you were hungry and you didn't get what you really thought you needed. But you had that next day. And the next day you had a few things, but it wasn't really what you wanted. But you got by. You got by. And then things get better. You get to where you can buy a few more things, have a little bit more food, and then you do a little better. But the day we had less, were we thankful for that one biscuit or that one piece of fruit? Maybe it wasn't a steak or a slab of ribs or fried shrimp or the big salad. But are we thankful for what we do have? And are we even more thankful for all the great things we do have in excess, above and beyond the basic needs? Let's take about 5 minutes or so and look at these points. Let's take one day at a time and trust in God and His Word. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 talks about trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The problem with me is, and the problem with many folks is this, that we don't trust in God, we try to lean on our own understanding. We try to figure it out ourselves. And so many human beings think that they figured it all out. You've got all these people today that say, we've got it all figured out. We know why the world is hot. Do they? Or we've got it all figured out. We know that there's not a man and a woman. We know there's several different options. No, there's not. People think they've got it figured out. And they think that because they don't trust in God. They don't have any faith in His Word. They don't have an understanding of God. They need to take a deep breath and pause and look at around them. The sun that rises in the morning and sets in the evening, and the rain that comes, and the crops that grow, and the flowers that bloom, and the leaves that come out, and the fall that falls away, and you've got the winter, the change of the season. If these folks would just look around them, they could see the power of God, and they could learn to trust Him because they could see the power of God. Psalms chapter 119, verses 41 through 48. I was going to read all these verses this morning, but time won't allow it. But there in Psalms chapter 119, verses 41 through 48, the psalmist talks about God and trusting in God and how by the hand of God all these things come to us. And that as a person on this earth, we need to be trusting in God because one day at a time. Why one day at a time? Because today is all we've got. If we have tomorrow, that'll be one day at a time. Because today will be gone and the next day won't be here. So in essence, folks, we've got life one day at a time. Then we added it. We added it. Add to it. One. I wish I could learn this lesson a long time ago, Jane. One day at a time. That song, the popular song that's been sang over the years, I don't think it's any of our song books. It may be not be completely scriptural, but one day at a time, sweet Jesus. One day at a time. Let me live one day at a time. Well, there's some other verses. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What Paul did do, he took it one day at a time. I'm going to serve Christ today. I'm going to do everything I can to spread the gospel and do His will because I'm a servant of Christ and I want to go to heaven. So I'm going to do it and I'm going to be ready. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Pray daily. Let's take one day at a time and pray. If you'll read God's Word and get in His Word and trust Him and His Word and learn about His Son and what He's done for us, we can have a good day if we'll listen to Him and obey Him. We can pray daily. Jesus said, Father, give us this day our daily bread. When He taught His disciples how to pray, He prayed and He thanked the Father for the blessings. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18, we need to pray regularly, on a regular basis. Have a prayerful mind. Well, let's take one day at a time and keep our priorities right. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34 covers it all. Why do you worry? Why are you so anxious? Why, be anxious for nothing. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Why do you worry? Why, can you add one cubit to this person's stature? Why are you worried? Why are you so anxious? If He clothes the flowers of the field, if He feeds the birds of the air, will He not so much more feed you and clothe you? When? One day at a time, folks. One day at a time. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. I need to take one day at a time and realize the importance of doing what is right each day. Because I can't go back and change what I did yesterday. But if I did something wrong yesterday and I didn't ask God to forgive me for it last night, today I better be praying and confessing my fault to God and getting forgiveness today because tomorrow may not come. And James says, go to now you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanisheth away. One day at a time. And if we do that, take one day at a time and then be prepared for the day of death and the day of judgment. The day of death is coming. Hebrews 9:27. For everyone. Now, if the Lord comes, those that are alive and remain will be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. And those that have been faithful will meet Him in the air. And He takes the church and the saved home to heaven. To turn His kingdom, the church, the head of the church will turn it over to the Father. We need to be one day at a time and ready for death if this is the day we die. Because there's a day of death coming, or there's going to be the day of the end of earth when we're going to be no longer be here, and that's going to be the day of judgment. For the dead and the living, we'll all be raised to be judged. For we must all appear before the seat of Jesus Christ, to receive the things done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. So just think about that. You're here today because you believe God, and you believe God wants you to worship Him, and it does you good to be here. It does me good to be here. We ought to be here because we're commanded to do it. We ought to be here because we receive a blessing. And we ought to be here because it reminds us of what God has done for us and continually reminds us weekly of what He's done for us. But each day, we need to be mindful of what God has done for us. I want to look in your song books, if you will. We've got a couple of minutes. I want to read the words of two songs, and they're side by side, number 69 and number 70, about thinking about enough for today. And if we realize that God will provide today, and we'll use today as we're supposed to, and serve Him, think about what a friend we have in Jesus. Because we can live in peace today because Jesus came and shed His blood for us, and we have Him as an advocate with the Father. Think about it. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. So let's stop there just a minute. If today we have sin from the past that we haven't confessed and repented about, if we have sins from the past and we were not baptized into Christ, today we need to confess Christ, repent of our sins, and be baptized. For what today? So we can be forgiven of all those sins, and the Lord will add us to the church. Have you done that? Today, if we have sins in our life that we haven't confessed and repented of, have we done that? God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins as His children. And we need to do it daily because we do sin. But if it's a sin that needs to be corrected in a public way that may have brought shame on the church, why not confess that today? Why not repent of your sins today? Because today is the day to clean it up. And if you got a clean slate today and to live for tomorrow, you'll be ready for tomorrow. But if we don't make it through the day and we don't have a clean slate, having come to God and get forgiveness, we're going to be in trouble when the judgment day comes, because it's coming. Well, verse 2. Have we trials and temptation? If there's trouble anywhere, we should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Quickly, let's look at number 70. We're running out of time. One step at a time, dear Savior. I cannot take any more. The flesh is so weak and hopeless, I know not what is before. One step at a time, dear Savior, I am not walking by sight. Keep step with my soul, dear Savior, I walk by faith and by thy might. One step at a time, dear Savior, O guard my faltering feet. Keep hold of my hand, dear Savior, till I journey, my journey complete. One step at a time. One step at a time, one day at a time. If this is the day you need to repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized, do it, please. If this is the day you need to fix something in a public way, please do that, and we'll pray with you. If you need to, come while James leads us in the invitation song.